Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think part of the reason I read that story is one of the toughest funerals I ever had in my life was when a young man died suddenly. He had a heart attack at his daughter's birthday party. And she was 6 and her brother was 4. And I will never forget them standing before the funeral with this look on their faces like, what is going on? What is happening? And so I don't want any more 4-year-olds or 6-year-olds to wonder that. What's going on? What's happening? To have a little bit of an idea of what life and death is all about. Okay, I'm just going to leave this here. It's working, isn't it? Yep. Okay. Okay, I'm going to focus on one verse from our gospel reading today. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, I'm really curious as to how she said that. That is, she might have said it in the most obvious way, one of simple resignation. You know, "Lord, if you had just been here." But a second way would include a touch of accusation in her tone, implying that if Jesus had been there when they needed him, Lazarus need not have died. I don't know which way she said it. Either way, both were acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord of life, having power over all illness and even death. I'm going to take a deeper look now at the second possibility, that Mary said it with a touch of accusation. If so, Mary was the first of countless Christians through the centuries who have expressed the same sentiment in their grief over the loss of a loved one due to an accident or illness. That is, saying in their hearts, sometimes to their pastor, "Why didn't God keep this from happening?" That's perhaps the toughest question a pastor has to face. For 2 reasons. First, the pastor must attend to the grief that's going on, and perhaps even a measure of anger that's being expressed. After that, after attending to the grief, the question hangs in the air. The problem for me is my answer, that is the answer that works for me, is rather long. In their time of deep grief, a long answer is probably not appropriate. But I think this is an appropriate time now, so that when it happens, or maybe it's already happened to you, maybe you're still carrying some grief with a touch of anger about the death of a loved one. I hope my answer is hopeful and helpful for you, and so that you can kind of carry it in your pocket for when it's needed. First, let's tackle the circumstance of a tragic accident causing death. Contrary to what some would say, I do not think that accidents are God's will. Thank you. It is absolutely the opposite. God does not desire the early ending of a life and all of the grief and loss that follows. What is true is that God does not normally suspend either of 2 things. 1, the law of physics, and a person's free will. I have 2 examples to share with you, and I hope these examples do not touch too close to the experience of anyone here. For my first example, let's say a do-it-yourselfer is going to work under his car, and for whatever he's doing, he has to jack up both ends of the car and put it on jack stands, 4 jack stands, each one on a corner of the car. Now, the tragedy is, the accident is, He failed to place those jack stands at the right spot. And if you've ever worked under a car, sometimes it's confusing. Today's cars don't have simple frames like they used to. It's like, do I put it here under the suspension? Do I put it here under the differential? Where do I put this jack stand anyway? Well, he placed it in the wrong place. And the laws of physics did what they do. It fell. That was an accident. That was not God's will, taking this man's life. For my second example, let's say a person decides to go out to the bar, which is okay. I go out to the bar too. But while at the bar, the person becomes intoxicated. The person then makes the personal choice to attempt to drive themselves home. Remember, God does not suspend free will. Even when we make the wrong decision, even when we decide to do something God doesn't want us to do, God lets us have free will. On their way home, they cause an accident resulting in the death of an innocent person. That's not God's will. I'm certainly not a prosecuting attorney, but I think it's called manslaughter. Second, let's tackle the circumstance of death caused by an illness, such as cancer, a common one. From my first example, let's say a young person is angry at God, asking why God let their parent die. My father died of cancer when I was 21. I wasn't a child, but I was certainly young enough to miss the presence of a father in my life. And I still miss him today. What if God did save person A's parent from cancer because, well, God loved that family very much. And they felt they didn't deserve a tragedy. So God saved person A from cancer. Now, what if I knew that? What if I knew that God saved person A's father from dying, but not my father from dying? How do you think I would feel about God at that point? Somebody else's parent, God loved so much to save them, but my dad, God let him die of immense pain. He had bone cancer. How could I possibly reconcile that between myself and God? Well, at this point of my life, if that were revealed to me, I admit I'd still feel a little hurt. But I also think I would find reconciliation with God, knowing there must have been a very good reason that the person God let live had something very, very important to accomplish in life and the overall scheme of things. So I think I could deal with that okay. But let's step it up a notch. Why is there cancer at all? All I know about genetics is what I learned in college some time ago. And so the only thing I can figure out is that with all the immensely complicated processes of creating and duplicating and modifying this immense complicated, I think it's a molecule called DNA, there's simply going to be some errors made once in a while. And that's why we have cancer. I think it's a part of life. It's a little bit like building cars. Let's pull a number out of the air and say Ford builds, I don't know, but let's say 100,000 Mustangs in a year. All of them going through the exact same manufacturing process. But with all the complexities of different options affecting other systems on the car, maybe it's a brand new, they've revamped the Mustang and it's a brand new model year for them, and all the many parts suppliers used to provide parts for Ford to build that Mustang. and all the complexities of the assembly process. Once in a while, something's going to go wrong. That's why we have warranties on new cars. Ford knows that, and all the other manufacturers know something's going to go wrong once in a while. Now, I could leave it at that, but I'm not going to. For what I'm about to say, I have no explanation. I simply leave it in God's hands. I believe it is a fact that once in a while, God does intervene and prevent someone from dying. I've heard too many personal accounts as a pastor over 30-some years to not believe it. I've got my own story. I'll make it short for you. I was a young man on a very fast motorcycle. And I was out in the country, on a country road, and I was going too darn fast. You know, you put a young man and a motorcycle together, and it's almost inevitable they're going to say, gee, what happens if I twist this back all the way? Well, that's what I did. What happens if I twist this back? That's the throttle, okay? And it makes the motorcycle go fast. Well, everything was fine, and I was surprised at what the speedometer said. But you know what? I came up a hill, and a tractor pulled out in front of me. Tractors don't move too fast. So I slammed on the brakes as hard as I could, hoping I might miss the tractor. I did. I missed the tractor. But you know what? The tractor was pulling a hay wagon. I thought it was hopeless. I missed the tractor, but I gave up. I thought, I'm not going to miss that trailer. But I did. I missed that trailer. And I don't know how in the world I missed that trailer. I was going so fast, and he was going so slow. When I got around him, I had to stop, pull over, turn off the engine, and just realize I was still alive. I don't know how. I think it was God. I think it was God that saved my life that day. The good news for you to hear today on this All Saints Sunday is that while we all die one way or another, Jesus is Lord of life, champion over death, and God saves all of us in the next life. God will give us an entirely new body, which is equipped to dwell in the very presence of God, who, as we heard today, will wipe away every tear. Remember, Jesus delayed going to see Lazarus. Maybe you didn't hear that in our gospel reading, but early on, he was told that Lazarus was very sick. Jesus could have gone right then, but he didn't. And he told his followers, it's for a reason. You're going to see the glory of God. There's a section, speaking of Lazarus, there's a section from a radio play from long ago called The Man Born to Be King. And the setting of this section is after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And it's a dinner party to throw for Lazarus because he's alive again and he's well, so they wanted to celebrate. And Lazarus is sitting next to Jesus. And someone sitting across from Lazarus, he says, Lazarus, we're all dying to know. What's it like? What happens? And Lazarus looked at Jesus as if to say, can I tell him? Jesus nods his head, says, go ahead. And Lazarus said this. He said, it's like a tapestry. On this side of death, we see the back of the tapestry. And if you've ever seen the back of a tapestry, it's not very pretty. There's threads. They look like miscellaneous threads here and there, and there's long ones hanging down, threads that weren't included in the tapestry. And he said, on the other side, when we die, we get to go around and see the front. And we get to see the beauty of it all. And we get to see the pattern that it made, that each thread serves a purpose in the overall design of the tapestry. That's what it's like to go to the other side. I walk through life trusting that every thread, every event, every one of us, and every event that happens to us is going to be a part of that tapestry. And someday, we're going to see it. We're going to see it together, and we're going to celebrate the beauty that life is and life was. Amen.